Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, what a great night for conservatism. Let's just tick off a few of these. We're going to save one result for the third martini. But as you pointed out in the jolt, obviously the big news of the night was that Richard Murdoch not only defeated six-term Republican senator and increasingly moderate Dick Lugar, he crushed him. He crushed him. It wasn't even close, about 60 to 40. Scott Walker in Wisconsin, unopposed at this point in the recall fight, still got more votes than both of the Democrats who are running to face him. Tom Barrett, the Milwaukee mayor, who Walker beat back in 2010, will be the guy he faces. North Carolina, traditional marriage wins easily. And I'm excited, Jim, to learn about some of these Republican House candidates who are going to be emerging in a very favorably redrawn congressional map in the Tar Heel State. So just overall, a great, great night for conservatism in particular, but I think the Republican brand also as the year goes on.
You mentioned some of the good news, Greg. Look, I got to tell you, look, we're men of the right, so we were never going to be that big fans of President Obama. But I just wanted a better Democratic option. And this guy named No Preference is just taking off in North Carolina. 21% right. of the vote. I don't know where he's been. I don't know much about his record. I do know that No Preference has no scandals in his background. Nothing embarrassing there. So this is the guy who I think Republicans got to worry about. If the Democrats were to nominate No Preference, then we might be in trouble between now and Election Day. That was fantastic news. The word out this morning is that President Obama will be doing an interview in which he will formally come out and endorse gay marriage. Regardless of your opinions on that particular topic, I do find it fascinating that after issuing a two-sentence written statement of disapproving of Amendment 1 over in North Carolina, that now he comes out and tells North Carolina gays and lesbians, "Hey, I'm standing with you." Thanks a lot. I'm sure they're all going to be moved that one day after the referendum in a key swing state, he decides to come out and let them know. He's a day late. We'll see that when it comes to donation time, whether they turn out to be a dollar short. I also like the recommendation from Eric Erickson that if the people who were very opposed to that movement in California, the No Hate Movement, and they wrote N-O H and number 8, that as much as they may oppose the passage of Amendment 1, they really don't want to adopt as a slogan No A1, because that will just come out as anti-steak sauce. And that's just not a winning position in North Carolina. So it was a strange night. It was a fun night. It was just a certain wackiness. And we rarely do get to enjoy primary nights like this one. Hopefully this is not the last really enjoyable night for folks like us between now and November.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's going to be a tougher fight probably to keep the seat in Indiana now that Murdoch's running against Joe Donnelly. Lugar probably would have had an easier time, but we want stronger conservatives in the Senate, so we're glad that Murdoch won. Interestingly, to talk a little bit about Richard Murdoch, I thought this was really impressive last night, Jim. A couple of clips here of him actually having everybody engage in sustained applause for the career of Dick Lugar and then explaining what this race was really all about.
I'm going to ask all of you to join me in recognition of a truly great public servant, a great Hoosier, a great American, someone who for almost a half a century has given his life to public service. And he is a man who deserves the respect of each and every one of us. Would you please join me in a tremendous round of applause for Senator Dick Lugar? And as I have told so many people, especially when I've had the chance to talk to young people in the last 15 months, this race is not about animosity. It's about ideas. It is about the direction of the Republican Party. It is about the direction of our country.
Jim, as you put in the jolt today, very classy, but also very politically smart. I think he realizes there's a lot of folks in the Lugar camp who are a little bit frayed around the edges, and there's probably a few moderates who felt more comfortable with Lugar, who he needs to have on his team come November. So well played all the way around.
I think it is. It's worth noting that, I mean, look, Dick Lugar was not probably every conservative's ideal, but he had been fairly strong on a lot of foreign policy issues for a long time. And this was not Charlie Crist. This was not Arlen Specter. This was not a guy who had been the term Republican in name only doesn't really fit Dick Lugar. There's a spectrum here. And, even if Lugar were not as conservative as some would have hoped, I think the stronger argument against Lugar would just be the notion that, look, in 36 years, you should be able to do what you want to do in Washington. This is not an age issue. I think this is just a matter of 6 terms in the Senate is enough for anybody, and it's time for new blood. And Richard Murdoch certainly seems to be representing the voice of Indiana Republicans, as the primary showed last night. So Richard Murdoch is a guy who got 1 million votes in the state treasurer race last year, kicking on Joe Donnelly, a House Democrat who barely hung on to a seat in 2010. And one of the reasons for that is because he voted for Obamacare. So in Indiana, good solid conservative versus an Obamacare-backing Democrat. I like those odds, Greg.
I like them too. And I think Joe Donnelly realizes he's in trouble. Just as I was prepping for our podcast, I had Fox News on, and they were pointing out that Jacques of all shocks, Joe Donnelly is a supportive of the contempt citation for Eric Holder. Who would have thunk it just the day after the primary? I'm sure that's been his position all along.
This guy ran a really tough ad hitting Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi on immigration during 2010. That Joe Donnelly is not afraid to basically run ads that would make you believe that he is the Republican in the race when he needs to. I don't think this is going to work statewide, as it's been pointed out this morning. He voted for Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker twice. So now that he's insisting, well, I didn't vote for her at the beginning of this Congress. Well, that's great, Congressman, but where were you the 2 preceding cycles? And, you know, right where Nancy Pelosi needed you, and on the Obamacare vote, and on the stimulus vote, and on the TARP vote, and everything else. So, you know, Joe Donnelly, I don't think he's really going to fool that many Hoosiers this come November.
Hopefully not. Hopefully he'll have some help at the top of the ticket as well that we didn't have in 2008 in Indiana. On to a martini number two now, and the Joe Biden hit parade just keeps on coming. This guy could probably put out a couple of albums of greatest hits so far. I mean, just last week, he put the president in the pickle on his position on gay marriage, as you referred to earlier. Now he's come up with the sheer fantasy, Jim, that the fact that Iran is the threat that it currently is today is because the U.S., our position during the Bush administration was all wrong. We weren't taking a diplomatic approach. It was all stick and no carrot. And, you know, the Bush administration was just playing the role of cowboy. I'm paraphrasing quite extensively here, but basically saying the Bush administration approached the issue all wrong. And his administration, along with President Obama, is taking a far smarter approach and yielding far better results. The difference is that that is not true. And secondly, I don't think they have made any progress when you look at the fact that the nuclear program keeps growing and anybody who tries to inspect it mysteriously dies, like we found out yesterday.
You know, it's kind of striking. I had, you know, written about this in the morning, Joel. I marvel at the fact that Joe Biden can say things that are absolutely bonkers crazy, and everybody just kind of nods and smiles. I'm in no position to make a medical diagnosis of dementia, Greg, but really, at some point, what Joe Biden describes is not the world we're living in, and it's kind of stunning to see him saying things like this, because for all the flaws of the Bush administration, there are a lot of folks who argued that Bush was deferring too much to the UN and relying too much on diplomacy in 2008. But there were no less than 5 UN resolutions that got through the UN in the years leading up to 2008. The EU imposed sanctions. The UN voted for new sanctions. Australia voted. Like, there was a serious diplomatic effort going. And if we're going to say, oh, well, you know, things are so much better today. Well, literally, to use a favorite adverb of Joe Biden, the day Joe Biden is saying what a wonderful success our Iran policy is, the Iranians are meeting with the Indian trade officials in New Delhi to talk about ways to work around the embargo. A good question would be, is Iran closer to a nuclear weapon than they were 4 years ago? Yes. So in that sense, Greg, we have to give credit where it's due. We have found some people who are better off now than they were 4 years ago. Unfortunately, it's the Iranian nuclear program, except for the, you know, scientists who keep dying in mysterious circumstances that our intelligence agencies and the Israelis have no idea how that happened.
Right. On to martini number three now. And we left out one result from Tuesday night's primaries because, while No Preference did a great job in North Carolina, he's got nothing on Keith Judd. Keith Judd came in second in the Democratic presidential primary in West Virginia, getting 40% of the vote against Barack Obama. No, he's not a brother of Ashley Judd or Winona Judd or anything like that. No, he's serving 17 years in prison in Texas for extortion, yet somehow cobbled together $2,500 to get himself on the ballot in West Virginia. And let's just say I don't think the Obama campaign is going to be spending a lot of money trying to win West Virginia's 5 electoral votes when a convicted felon wins 40% of the vote with obviously no time to campaign whatsoever. Mr. President, I think that's a message.
You know, Greg, I think the Oval Office is no place for any amateur crook. It's time to get these folks who are improvising their criminal activities in the Oval Office and put in the professionals. It's time to go for those folks. Marvelous. I had joked before Obama took office he'd be the first president who'd need to appoint an ambassador to West Virginia, since culturally he is just so different from the folks there. Some folks will chalk this up to racism. Some folks will chalk this up to, West Virginia, backwards mountain people. People look down their noses at that. Mo Lane had said last night that this reveals that Democrats have completely disassociated themselves from the Jacksonian tradition in American politics. And these are folks who are kind of, generally Scotch-Irish, generally settling in Appalachia and kind of the northern south, the southern north, so to speak, around Tennessee, West Virginia, Kentucky, places like that. These used to be fairly reliably Democratic states. This is not a traditionally Republican constituency.
No, not at all.
As the Democratic Party has shifted to the left, it's left a lot of folks behind. And there's this entire concept of Reagan Democrats in 2008. Look, Reagan Democrats are now the base of the Republican Party. And some of these folks who may be, Democrat because their party registration is that way, their fathers were Democrats, their grandfathers were Democrats, who have a long-standing tie to the Democratic Party, don't connect to the modern leaders of the Democratic Party, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Barack Obama's, the Joe Biden's. So here we are to this point where, they will vote for any other option, including this convicted felon, than vote for Barack Obama. And I think when you throw in the 20% of North Carolina Democrats voting for no preference over the president, look, this president is not going to replicate the 2008 results, and he is in he's in a lot more trouble with his base than he thinks. And it's not trouble with his liberal activist base. It's not the Occupy folks. It's not the MoveOn.org folks. It's not the Michael Moores. It is the white working class folks who preferred Hillary Clinton in the primaries, took a leap of faith with Obama in 2008, and are very, very disappointed with what they've seen so far.
True. And of course, when the major industry in your state is coal, and this president's Environmental Protection Agency is rolling out regulations which are essentially designed, not just incidentally crippling your economy, designed to do so, not a big surprise that people aren't warming up to that a whole lot. So,
quote our wise and unpredictable vice president in 2008, no coal plants in America. That was his nuanced approach to the issue in 2008.
Jim, have a great day. I'm sure it's already great, but we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and please join us again on Thursday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.